We're going to see some things in the book of Ruth. I wish that I had a classroom full here to teach this class to, because it's such a fantastic... Sister Andina, where did we finish last week? Do you remember in the book of Ruth?
I do.
You know where we were? I know you'll know where it was.
I think that was chapter 3.
Right at chapter 3, I believe. Mm-hmm. All right. Chapter 3. Now let's give you a recap, because Dennis and his wife were... Pam?
Yes.
Pam. Dennis and Pam were here last week. The book of Ruth basically takes place during the time of the judges. Marilyn, have you got some water for me? And things were not good in Israel in the time of the judges, were they? Every man did that which was right in the sight of his own eyes. We have Ruth and her husband. They went off into the land of Moab because there's a great famine in the land. They had two sons that were probably twins. And the two sons were very sickly. A lot of times back in those days, twins, Marilyn, you weighed how much did you weigh?
4 pounds
when you were born. She was a twin. And sometimes it's very difficult. A lot of times one of the twins will die. Mike, somebody I know had a twin. I can't remember who it was now. And the twin, their twin brother, Larry, my friend Larry, he had a twin brother, never even knew it. The twin brother died. A lot of times the twins don't make it. Well, these twins, their mother really took good care of them, Naomi. And, of course, the twins' names, now, who was Ruth's husband? You remember? They'll tell you this in a lot of places. Who was Ruth's husband? Alon. All right, Alon, okay. And what does his name mean?
Strength.
Unhealthy.
Unhealthy.
All right.
Sickly.
All right, that's what his name was. Because they were twins and they were really feeble, in feeble health, little children. And then Chalon, his name meant puny and about to perish. All right. So here we have these two twins that are possibly twins, or likely not twins. And then Malon, he marries Ruth. And what does Ruth mean?
Pretty.
Huh? Good looking. That's what her name means. Good looking. She is pretty. All right. I remember old Hank Williams singing the song, "Hey, good looking." You know? Well, that's what her name was, is good looking. Beautiful. That was her name. And then Orpha, what was Orpha's name? What did it mean? You remember? Fawn, that's a little young deer, okay, a fawn, beautiful little fawn. So, and then Naomi, what does the Naomi mean?
Pretty. Oh, Naomi?
Uh-huh, pleasant, nice to be around, happy person, all right? And then Elimelech means that God is my king. So, we have two boys here that have some kind of sickly sounding names. They evidently are believers in Jehovah. The family is are believers. And this the believing in Jehovah must have rubbed off on these two girls. Now, when her husband dies and then the two boys die, what happens? When the husband dies and the two sons die, what happens? She decides to go back to Bethlehem. Now remember, I told you that the book of Ruth is, in the Old Testament, there are two books. They're about women. What are the two books named after women?
Esther
and Ruth. All right. Now Esther was always read at the Feast of Purim. All right? That's when they are celebrating Naaman. And remember old Naaman, the bad guy, Naaman? Who was the guy that he kept trying to bump off? Remember that one? Esther's uncle, all right. They kept trying to hang him. He built a big gallows for him. And anyway, Naaman got to be hung on the gallows, all right. Well, the Feast of Pentecost. That's when they go out and they dwell with God. Okay? Now, the whole idea of the tabernacle was what? God wanted to dwell with His people. Now, at the Feast of Pentecost, they always read the book of Ruth. Guess what happened to the church on the day of Pentecost? That's when the church was immersed in the Spirit of God to carry out the gospel. Now, the church was already in existence. We know that. It was a church. The church had baptized. The church had a treasury. He wasn't a very good one. Remember who that guy was? Who was the treasurer of that church?
Judas.
Judas is a carrier. All right. They had been baptizing people. They went out on what we call the limited commission, and at least the 12 apostles. What was the first gift placed in the church? Remember what the first gift? According
apostles.
To the what?
Apostles.
All right. Now, when were the apostles ordained? During the Lord's ministry. They weren't placed in the church afterwards. They were placed in the church during His ministry. All right. And then the church already had the Lord's Supper. They had the memorial supper that up there in probably John's rented room in Jerusalem. And so they had the Lord's Supper, they had baptism, they had a treasurer, even though it wasn't worth a flip. They had baptized, they had even healed, all of this, but they had not received the Comforter. All right? They had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in each individual, but they had not received the Comforter. Okay? Now, on that day, that's when the Holy Spirit of God come down on that church and just immersed it in His Spirit. They would read this book, the book of Ruth, on the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, the Feast of Shavuot, Booths. Okay? That was the 50th day. Now let's go into the third chapter. We got kind of caught up here a little bit. We're in the third chapter. Can't get everything to stay up here on this little tiny podium that I want. I'll see if I keep it falling down. Ruth 3 and verse 1. Dennis, are you over there? Verse 3 and verse, or chapter 3 and verse 1?
Yeah.
All right. Can you read that for me, or would you like to?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?"
All right. Now let's go back and find out where we are here. All right. Naomi, her mother-in-law, says to Ruth, "Now, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Now, what happened here until now is that Ruth went out, and good-looking Ruth, she goes out into the field, Boaz's field, which is a near kinsman to Ruth, all right, or to Naomi. And she goes out gleaning, and she is a good-looking woman. Boaz is out there, and he says, "Who is that good-looking woman?" And that her name is good-looking woman. Okay? And he says, he goes over to her, and he says, "Don't you go gleaning in anybody else's field. You come and eat with my female servants. You hang around me, I'll take care of you." And he tells his boys, he says, "Go out there and drop a little extra grain here and there for her." So she takes all this grain home that night. She's out there in the barley harvest. Now, two books in the Old Testament typify the Lord's church. One of them is the Song of Solomon. Okay? The Song of Solomon. The Bride of Christ. And that was Solomon's bride, wasn't it? And just remember, now, the tabernacle at this period of time typifies the Lord's church during the church age that we live in today. Alright? The temple of Solomon typifies the Lord's church during the millennial reign. Okay? So here we have the type of the church. Now, the tabernacle definitely typifies Christ. All of it does, but in a secondary sense, it also shows forth the Lord's church. Okay? Now he goes out there and he sees this beautiful woman. So he said, "You stay in my field." Now, in Matthew the 13th chapter, who knows what's taking place in Matthew the 13th chapter in the New Testament? Remember what the subject of it is? Brother Madden used to make, he made me memorize the whole New Testament. What?
The sower.
One fourth the sower. The parables. The Matthew 13 is the parables of Matthew 13. The sower went forth to sow. And then it talks about the Lord of the harvest also. Now guess who Boaz is? The Lord of the harvest. Okay? And who went out to sow? Boaz, basically. How did the field get sowed? Under his authority, the field was sowed. Alright? And now it's the harvest time. And here is Ruth. Alright? So she's out in the fields. And by the way, it says it just happened that Ruth was out in Boaz's field. The rabbis say there's no such things as a circumstantial thing. That's not a cultural word. Things just don't happen. It's what we call the providence of God. Okay? Now it says, then Naomi and her mother-in-law said to her, "My daughter, shall I seek security for you, that it may be well with you." Now verse number 2. Brother mine.
And now it is not Boaz, our kinsman, with whose maids you. And now it is not Boaz, our kinsman, with whose maids you were. But behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight.
All right, he's going to go out, and they're going to throw the barley up in the air, and all the grain and everything that goes up in the air, and then they would set on a saddle back there, and they would throw it up in the air, and there would be prevailing winds there. It would blow the chaff away, and the barley would be there, and they'd usually have some kind of a tarp or something down there, and they'd catch it all, and they'd keep it, and then they'd guard it. Now, the Lord of Harvest, he's going to guard this wheat tonight, or this barley, okay? And so he's going to be there. Now, just exactly, let's see what in the world she tells her to do. All right, Sister Andino, number 3.
Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking.
Now, this is a seductive scene. All right. This is, in the Bible, there is seduction. There is. There's eating and drinking, there's killing and romance and betrayal and all that in the Bible. All right? It's all over. It's just full from Genesis to Revelation. And here's another scene with a beautiful woman and a handsome single man, and her mother-in-law is going to sick her on this guy. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Sick her. Like a dog.
Yes, sir. Go get him. All right? This is your near kinsman, so you go get him.
I'm probably rich.
And he's rich.
Oh, no.
Is our Lord, Jesus, is our Lord rich? He owns all of the heavens, doesn't he? Now, he's a type of Boaz, all right? Boaz means what? Brother Mike? What does Boaz mean? Now, you remember that.
In him is strength.
All right. Who sustains us every day? The Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, after he's been eating and drinking, all right, he's going to go home and pass out. Now, he's going to go home and not home, but over there to where his harvest is, and he's going to lay down by the harvest to protect it. But he's worn out, and he's just going to go to sleep. Number 4 now. Young lady, are you over there, number 4?
Yes.
Okay.
When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet. And lie down. He will tell you what to do.
All right. Go seduce him. That's exactly what she told her. Exactly. Now, she's all prettied up. She's all smelly. She's got some nice perfume on. What do you think about it? You ever have a woman do this to you, Brother Brett?
Every time.
All right, every time. All right, so this woman is after this man. All right, she's going after him. This is the story now. Now it says, uncover his feet. Uncover his feet. Did you do that thing? Did you go after him? Women usually, you know, women say they're shy and all that kind of stuff, but women are usually they are the aggressors. When my wife set her eyes on me, her sights on me, I was done for. That's it. I was caught.
Did you wake up with her like lay at your feet?
No, I
that means something.
That means something that...
The bride has made herself ready. Remember? The bride has made... Oh, yes. Uncover the feet. Yeah, I'm going to go into that. All right. Okay. Their feet. You know, back then, they didn't show any nakedness at all. Any nakedness was... That was unsightly. A woman had to have herself veiled. I mean, the way that they live in the Middle East, the women with the veils on, is exactly what was going on here. This has been passed down. And the men did not uncover their feet either. They had long skirts. And by the way, at the bottom of their skirts, their genealogy of their family was written. Now, remember when David went into the cave where Saul was, and he cut his skirt off. When he came out, and he waved that skirt in the air, "Look here, Saul, this is your genealogy. It says who you are right on the skirt." You know, in the army, what did they have? Any of you have been in the army? Anybody been in the army? All right. Right on their shoulders here, they have what rank they are. Well, on their skirts, the bottom of their skirts, is what rank they were. Remember when the woman that had the an issue of blood, she came to Jesus and she touched the hem of his garment. She touched his authority. Who he was.
That's what that means.
What?
That's what that means?
That's what I mean.
I heard that.
All right, well, we're getting into it now. There's good stuff here. Okay. They touched the hem of his garments. That's where his authority of where he was. What he was, the king of Israel. That's who Jesus. Right. And this woman believed that. Okay?
Jim.
Yes.
So the man would have the heritage on the king, right?
Yeah, well, the patriarch, the father of the family, would carry a staff, and on that staff, engraved on that staff, was his genealogy and his family history. All right? All the American Indian tribes. How many of you have been to my houses? Then you see my shield? I have a shield. It was given to me with my signs on it, name and everything else on the field in India. The Indians used to have every tribe, which meant family. Every tribe was a family, and they had a family historian and they wrote down the winter count on it. Well, when the white people came here, they kind of burned all the Indian villages and everything. They burned all the histories up. They say we didn't have any written history. That's baloney. We had all. Every tribe had a history. And they had a tribal historian written, okay? Well, back in this period of time, now, how many mothers and fathers of humanity are there? How many sources of origin is mankind? How many? What are they, Greg?
Man and woman, I thought.
All right. Adam and Eve. All right. Now, after man became corrupt in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, what happened after that? God flooded the earth with a flood, and then we have the basis of all three races that we have today. When I did my DNA a few months ago, it was very, very... you can turn that thing down if you like. Okay? I was making it too cold. Okay? They gave me my DNA, my historical DNA. Well, I'm 86.6% Indian. And then it just goes on down. But it tells you, just on a map of the world, exactly all the migration that's in the book of Genesis. Exactly. To a T. To a dot and a Y and across to a T. It's right there. All mankind goes back to one source. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And they knew the truth when they left. Now, they may have perverted it, but they knew the truth. So there's basic identical things. So now, on Boaz's skirt, his robe, whatever you want to call it, is his genealogy of who he is and his family history and what where he lives and everything else. You lay down and you uncover his feet. This is a seductive move, by the way. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That it is. That's what happens. She seduces him.
She's
going to seduce him. You don't realize, though, in culture today, what she told him, she said, "I want to mate with you." And today, in the world, we got young people running around, older people, we got all kinds of people just mating. In the Bible, when you mate, that is your spouse. The act of marriage is mating. They become one flesh. No baloney, that's the way God looks at it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what she asked David to do, was to be her husband, her mate. That's exactly what she's going to do. So now let's see what happens here. She uncovers his feet. She uncovers his nakedness. All right? And she lays down at his feet. All right? Brother Mike, number five.
And she said to her, all that you say I will do.
Oh, wait a minute. All right? After you uncover his feet, all right? And she said, all that you say to me, I will do. Mm-hmm. Number five now. Pam, do you want to read that for me? Is that all right?
Okay.
Okay, number five.
And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do.
All right, number six. Go ahead and that with that.
So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all her mother-in-law instructed her.
All right, now she had instructed her of the customs of the people. This is what you do. All right. Number seven, Sister Andino.
And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and he fucked...
Mark was married.
Okay. And his heart was cheerful. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of the grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down.
All right, she's going to seduce him now. All right. Is this too wild for you, Brother Floyd? Can you read the next one out?
That's wild.
This is getting pretty wild now. It's getting pretty wild.
That sounds like a fetish thing with his feet.
Okay, but that was deep.
I know.
Down underneath his skirt, that's where they're going to mate, okay? All right. Brother Floyd.
At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Spread your skirt over your maidservant, for you are next of kin.
Don't get in short order. It says, mate with me. That's exactly what she told him. She said, let's become man and wife right now. Okay? This was the act of marriage. That's what she told him. Because you are my kinsman redeemer. You are my Goel. He tells her that. All right? That's exactly what happened. Is this too wild for you, Brett?
It's kind of cool the way that I'm happy after that, but you know.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what's going on here. Okay? Now, we don't understand that, but that's exactly. She wanted to marry him. And she wants to raise up seed. Now, remember, the daughters of Zelophehad and all of that, you know how, whatever, and we're going to find out a little bit more about later, but now, her husband had died, and the law of Moses provided that she's supposed to go, if her husband dies, she's supposed to go to the closest relative, and he's supposed to take her in marriage, mate with her, and bring a child, raise up a child, and name it after them. Okay? That's exactly what happened. Now, this is what she asked this guy to do. Now, I want you to be my husband, straight out. I want you to be my husband. And I want you to raise up seed in place of my husband. Okay? That's what they're supposed to do. All right? Later on, we're going to see this repeated later on. Sister Andino, number 10.
Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor,
okay, now, you didn't go after some young, good-looking guy.
So he was an old man?
He's an older man. He went after an older man.
A rich, older man.
He was a rich, older man, but he was an older man. You know, this is the genealogy of our Savior now. All right? Now, who was Boaz's mother? Who was Boaz's mother? Who was his mother? No, his wife is going to be Ruth. Okay, who's Boaz's mother? She was in Jericho. Rahab the harlot.
Really?
Rahab the harlot was his mother. Okay? That's his mother. Okay? And she is a Gentile. Now, us Gentiles get intermingled into the lineage of Jesus Christ. Okay? All right? Brother Mike, number 11.
And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence.
All right, you're a beautiful woman. You're a woman of excellence. You have stayed with your mother. You have come to worship Jehovah. Now, those boys evidently had a good witness. They may have been sickly and poor over there in Moab, but they had a good witness, and they had led their wives to the Lord, even though they were Gentiles. All right? And who were they? Who were the descendants? Who were the Moabites? Who was their father?
Lot.
Huh? Lot. Lot was their father. Okay? Number 12, Brother Dr. Jonathan.
Now it is true that I am close relatives. However, there is a relative closer than I.
Okay, go ahead and read.
Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that he will perform the duty of close relative to you. Good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning.
All right. Now see, he told her, just stay here. Go ahead and stay here. Now, I'm not going to become your husband tonight because there's somebody closer relative than I am. Now I'm going to go see if this man wants to be. Now I have to let him have first choice. So I thought, now that's what's going to happen next. Now, since he did not take her as his wife that night, okay, he's going to take her because there's one closer relative now. Now, the closer relative evidently was rich also. But there's a problem with him. We're going to find out what that is. Sister Andina.
What verse? 14. So she laid at his feet of the morning, and she arose before one could recognize her. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshold.
Okay, don't let it know that I don't want your character messed up. Because, I mean, they were alone at night. She's laying there in bed with him. And don't let anybody else know this. We're going to keep your character clear until we get a hold of this nearer relative. All right, number 15, Floyd.
And he said, bring the mantle you are wearing and hold it out. So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and laid it upon her. And she went into the city.
Okay, so she goes home now, and this is kind of a secret message to her mother-in-law. All right? How many days did God take to reconstruct the earth and put it back in its order, created as it is today?
6 or 7 days.
Huh? How many days? 6 days. All right. What did you do on the 7th day?
He rested.
He gives her 6 measures of barley and says that I won't rest until the job is done. That's the story that he told Ruth. So Ruth's mother, Naomi, she understands what's going on here. Number 16, Brother John. I'll get somebody else.
No, I can do it.
Okay.
When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest.
What? The man will not rest. See, that's the story. Yeah. All right. The man will not rest. He gave her 6 measures. It means he's still working. All right. He's still working. He's going to work on it. Until he has settled it today. All right. Now, chapter number 4. Pam, you want to?
Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here.
All right, now what about this gate business? What happened in the gate? All right, let me draw you a little picture here. In the city, all the farmers lived in cities. They didn't live out on the farms, by the way. They didn't go out on the farms and stay out there unless they had grain harvest and everything to guard it like Boaz did. But all of them came to the gate. And in the gate was a double gate. There was a wall here and a gate and inside of the gate here. And guess what this was in here? What's that right there?
Farmer's market?
What?
Hey, Ron, didn't you?
Hold on. We've got to give you a little more cultural studies here, a little customs of the people. What happens in here, in this gate? Where did Lot dwell?
At the
gate of the city. Why was he in the gate of the city? Because he was a lawyer and a judge. Right here is where court took place. This is the courtroom of every city, right here. When they walk between these two gates here, this is the courtroom. Anybody coming in the city, the law, you were inspected by the lawyers of the town. Okay? Right off the bat, you met the lawyers of the city. And when you went into the gate. How do you like to have to meet the lawyers of Bakersfield when you came here? Have to meet them all before you can get in here into the city.
Right there, where they're finding...
14, 15, Truxton Avenue, you have to go through those doors before you get...
Maybe out there where that sign is, some place day.
Yeah.
Still out there?
Yeah. They'd be all out there.
Before you get in, anywhere near.
Well, he had to meet all the lawyers first, so now that's what happens here. Now he goes out there, he's in the courtroom. All right? Hey, did anybody know this stuff? Did you know this? Dennis, do you have a little... Okay, well, let's look. This book is
would
big.
Would that be on that picture right there? Where
they no, this is the tabernacle. We're having... Now, they went out and they had cities and everything after this. This is when they... That's when they temporarily dwelt around the Lord and they moved all during that. Then they went into the Canaan land and it was different. This is the church of the... This is the type of the church in the wilderness, the type of Christ and the type of church in the wilderness, okay? Now let's go on here and see what happened. Now he goes and meets he goes in, all the lawyers are there, all the judges of the city are there. And then, number two, let's see what it says there. Dennis, do you want to read that? Or in verse number two.
Okay. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here.
He gets him a jury, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He gets a jury. He gathers up a jury. And he said, sit down right here. We're going to do some judging today. Okay? So, number three now. Go ahead with number three.
Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother
Elimelech. God is my king. All right. And number four.
And I thought to inform you, saying, but it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people, if you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it. And I am next after you. He said, I will redeem it.
All right, he said, I'll redeem it. I got the money, I can buy it. I can buy the city. I can buy their farm back. Mm-hmm. Now, what's wrong with this plot? Boaz is the type of Christ. This guy isn't. Now, we talked about the daughters of Zelophehad. Remember before? What about the daughters of Zelophehad? Remember that law? We looked at that in Judges. That's where if a man had only daughters and he didn't have any sons, he would take his eldest daughter when his eldest daughter or his only daughter got married. He would adopt the son as his son and he would become the heir of all his property. Okay? All right? So what we have here now, this guy didn't have much money, but when he married his wife, his father-in-law adopted him. Alright? He adopted him, and that may be how he got in line here, by adoption. Okay? Now, Boaz is really the closest relative, because this guy probably is married in, and he's married the daughter, and now he is part of the family. But, if he takes another wife, what happens?
He jeopardizes his
heirship because he has got another wife. He can't take another wife now if he marries under the laws of Zelophehad. Okay? So now that's what's happened here with this guy. Let's go and look at this. Okay? All right. Where are we?
Here's number five.
Number five, Sister Andina.
Then number six. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself,
lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, but I cannot redeem it.
Okay. Boaz says, on the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth. You also must acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order that to raise up a child, in other words, to mate with her and bring forth a son of the man that's deceased in her inheritance. Ruth, the fourth chapter, says Kathy. All right.
Again, we meet again.
He said, I can't do it. If I marry, I can buy the land back, but I can't marry her. Because he had married a woman, and he had gotten inheritance to the woman. So if he married another woman, it would jeopardize his inheritance. If that woman left him because he married her, all his inheritance is going to go. All right? So he would jeopardize it. And she's a jealous woman, evidently. Okay? So he can't do that. Number six. Number six. Four and six.
Okay. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance.
I jeopardize my own inheritance because his wife might get mad and then he's lost it all. Okay?
Keep going.
Go. Now, what does he say?
Redeem, though, my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it.
Okay, you redeem it. Sister Kathy, number seven.
Can all your times in Israel for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off the sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel.
Okay, now this doesn't sound very normal today, but when we met this man, and he says, now, I cannot redeem this, or my wife is going to get jealous, basically, and I'm going to lose my inheritance. Okay, I can't take another wife. So you go ahead and redeem it. I can buy her land, but I cannot marry her. Okay? So he takes his shoe off, and he gives it to him. That's a pledge. Now, back in Abraham's day, that's what they did. They took their shoe off their sandal. But by the way, the shoe in that language is called underbinders. It was a sandal, all right? They bound them like Kathy. She's got underbinders on, all right? And Brett's got underbinders. All right. That's what they are. That's what they look like, okay? These were sandals, and your soul was bound to the top of your foot. So they would take off their sandal and hand it here and say, now, here's my shoe, you can have it. That was a sign, that's how they signed the covenant. Okay? Maybe their feet had a certain smell, I don't know, but whatever it was, they got their covenant.
Is this Boaz you're talking about?
Boaz.
That's worried about his inheritance?
No, not Boaz. The other man. The closer relative.
It doesn't really say his name, though.
It doesn't say his name. All right. Yes.
No, I was going to say that in my Bible. It's sandals.
Sandals. That's right. That's the correct term. Breath.
What does Naomi mean? Does it mean fawn? Yes, fawn, but does it mean charming? Or what
does it mean? Naomi means pleasant.
Pleasant, okay.
Yeah, Naomi means pleasant. All right, number eight. So the closest relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, and removed his sandal, and handed his sandal to him. Then Boaz said to the elders of all the people, now here are the judges. We're in the courtroom now. So here are the judges. So Boaz recites to all the judges and all the jury. We've got 10 men in the jury at least here, don't we? And we have judges. So Boaz said to the elders, to the judges of all the people, you are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon, and moreover, I have bought Ruth. I have bought Ruth. He bought her. Also, he bought Ruth. Why did he buy Ruth?
Why?
He gave her mother a dowry for her, basically. He exchanged. In other words, he said, she's worthy, all right, of my advances, and I'm going to pay you for her, Sister Eddie.
Would it be right to say that he redeemed her?
He redeemed her or bought her, yeah. Either way, he redeemed or bought her. I have acquired Ruth. I have redeemed her. I have bought Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, all right, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased may not be cut off from his brothers and from the court of his birthplace, and you are my witnesses today. This is a legal transaction. Okay? In courtroom. Number 11, and all the people of the court and the elders say, we are witnesses. They all basically sign the document. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Did he? What? How was it? Where was Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem. What does Bethlehem mean?
House of bread.
All right. Why did they come back there? And Jesus said to his church there on that night when they took the Lord's Supper, he said, what did he say? Take, eat this bread, for it is my body. All right? Represents my body. House of bread. Number 12 now, Brother Dennis.
May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from his young woman.
Okay, now what happened to Tamar and Judah? Hey, what, do you remember that story? This is quite a story. You remember that story?
I remember the name.
Oh, this here is a story of deceit and seduction also. All right? Deceit and seduction. You know what? You've read this story. This is quite a story. Tamar's husband died, and she went to Judah, her father-in-law, and said, give me one of your sons so that I may raise up seed, so I may have a child. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have any welfare or system or anything back then. A woman had to have children to protect her when she was old, or she'd starve to death. Simple. And Judah, being a jerk that he was, he wouldn't do it. So, being a self-respecting woman that Tamar was, she figured out how she's going to have a child. Now, she knew that Judah was going to go on a trip. So she goes on the side of the road, and she dresses up like a prostitute, covers her face, and she's sitting on the side of the road now. This is it. She's sitting on the side of the road dressed like a prostitute, and Judah comes along, and he likes her looks. And so she said, what are you going to give me? And he didn't have any money with him. So he gave her his signet ring and his staff and different things that said who he was. Well, she cohabits with him. She's pregnant. She gets pregnant. And then he finds out that Tamar, his widowed daughter-in-law, is pregnant. So he's going to have her stolen. And she said, who did this thing? And so she sends his signet ring back to him and his staff, and then he said, okay.
It's okay. Forget it.
It's his child. One time she was with this man, one time she got pregnant, she was fertile. Okay? She was fertile. All right? So may you be fertile like Tamar and the house of Perez. They had Perez, it was a boy. The Lord shall give you by this young woman. All right? Look at the deceit and things in the Bible. Can you? This wild stuff. Okay? Reading Shadow of the Indian Star is nothing. That's about my family. Number 13, Pam.
So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception.
All right,
she bore a son.
Yeah, she conceived and she bore a son. And sit the captain.
The woman said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer.
All right, and not without a Goel today. And may your house become, may your name become famous in Israel. Number 15. Captain.
He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons.
All right. Dr. John, number 16.
Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed.
Obed. All right. Obed.
He is the father of Jesse, the father of David.
All right. Keep on going.
Now, this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon?
Salmon, yeah.
Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot
King David. That's the story. Isn't that a beautiful story? It's pretty wild in some places. But the book of Ruth is a fantastic story. It is a beautiful story, correct?
So, Megan, is he going to reach down and touch the ark, or is his son going to have the ark and they were like happy?
What? That's a different story.
Well, I know, but I just heard all his names. So.
Huh?
I saw his name, so maybe you could.
Yeah. Now, who is it?
Obed.
Oh, Obed. Well, here we have, now they have a child, they call him Obed, okay? Now, and here we have the lineage. Perez, they were in the generation of Perez, wasn't it? Judah, and, what was the girl's name?
Tamar.
They have Perez, and Perez is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Here it is. In the genealogy. Thank you for your attention today. Did you learn something?
Yes. So I have a comment. So the night when she went and laid on his feet, they didn't have any.
They didn't have. They did
any
not,
relationship.
No, no, he wouldn't do it. He was an honest man. He could have taken her as a wife, but he told her there's somebody closer than I am. And evidently, this guy was married into the family. He was married into the family. Well, so he waits. He tells her to slip out of there while it's still dark so nobody even knows she was there. Keep your character clean and go, and I will go and try to take care of this. So he went right into the courtroom. He gets 10 jurors. He gets them involved in it. He finds the judges and gets this man to say that he cannot do it because he married his wife under the daughter's Zelophehad law, where he got his inheritance through his wife. Okay? And if he marries her, she's liable to divorce him, and then he loses his inheritance. He had the money, but he couldn't get married. Alright? So he tells Boaz, go ahead, Boaz. It's your turn. You go ahead now, Sister Andy.
So Ruth is the type of the church.
Ruth is the type of the church.
Jesus, that was released.
That's right. Ruth is the type of the church. Boaz is the type of the Lord our Savior.
Yeah.
And as you see this thing, now a kinsman and redeemer, a Goel. All right, in Hebrew it's Goel. Goel. The kinsman redeemer had to be willing to do it. All right, he had to be willing. And he had to be able, strong enough to do it. And he had to do all of it. He had to do everything, okay? He had to take care of all of the problems. Now, our Savior, Jesus, was he willing? Was he able? All right? Did he take care of all? Did he purchase all of mankind in all reality? His sacrifice on Calvary was sufficient to save every man that's ever been born in the world. But we have to be willing as individuals, huh? We have to be willing. Now, he makes us able, doesn't he? He makes us able because of his power. Boaz, in him is strength. And in the temple of Solomon now, there are two pillars out in front at the doorway. One of them is Boaz and the other is Jacob. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Boaz, in him is strength. So we see that. Any other, thank you for your observations and stuff. Yes. Vince, do you have anything? It's good to have you here, you and your wife here today.
Thank you.
That's all right. Got any questions?
I do love my draft.
I'm sure. Yeah. All right. Well, let's, who in the world is, we don't have, even our assistants, no one here is. You want to do the prayers?
Does anybody have any prayers?
Do you have any prayer requests?